Watch everybody. Is everyone good? I'm going to move this because, there we go. So we've been in a series this morning or this past few weeks about experiencing God. And as I was asked to preach this morning, I was trying to think about the series and thinking about all the things that Pastor Matt's been talking about. And what hit me, for me, personally, has been, how do we hear God's voice in the midst of everything going on around us? How do we hear God's voice in the midst of everything that is going on around us? And so this morning, that's what we are going to be talking about. We are going to be in Mark chapter 10, so if you have a Bible, you can open up to that, Mark chapter 10. If you have a Bible app, you can pull that out while we get started here. But we're going to be in Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 46. And in this passage, I believe that God is going to show us how we can hear His voice and how we can change the things going on in our lives so that we can connect with Him in a way that we have never done before, or in a way that we used to do that we have not been doing lately. So that is my prayer for you this morning. I hope that you came ready to experience God, to encounter God in a way that is fresh and new this morning. And if you know me, you know that my heart is really for people to meet Jesus and to know Jesus. So that is where we're going to go today. So I'm just going to start with our word of prayer. Would you join me? Father God, we love you. We thank you for everything you do for us, and we just ask that you would join us this morning, that you would meet us and speak to us through your word, that these would not be my words, but they would be your words for your people, and that through this we would leave here being able to encounter you in a way that we can never, ever explain except that you came and you met us. And so we just give this morning to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start in Mark chapter 10. We're going to read verse 46 through 52, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. They reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." "Be quiet," many of the people yelled at him, but he only shouted louder, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, "Tell him to come here." So they called the blind man and said, "Cheer up. Come on, he's calling you." Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. "My rabbi," the blind man said, "I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Go, for your faith has healed you." Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. And as we come to this passage, there are some things that I want you to notice about Bartimaeus. In verse 46, let's read verse 46 again. You should just be able to go to the next slide there. Can you go to the later slide? Not go back, but just keep going forward. Yep, right there. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him, and a blind beggar. So I want to stop here for a second, because it's something that we know about Bartimaeus, that he's a beggar. This means that he's poor. He probably did not have the ability to earn an income or to take care of his home or to do the things that many people in society were doing. And so when we read about this, it's really important for us to know that he was a beggar. That was what he did. Okay? We also know that he was blind, because it tells us right there, a blind beggar. So we know that he could not see. And these are two really crucial, important things to know about Bartimaeus as we go through this text this morning. As we get in, now we're going to go to verse 48, which is where we're going to spend most of our time this morning. We're going to be in verse 48 and 49. "Be quiet," they said. They yelled that to him. "Be quiet." But he only shouted louder. That's Bartimaeus, son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49 says, when Jesus heard him, he stopped. Now, I just was reading that, and this is what happened in my head. I'm reading that, and what could you have on your lips this morning that would make Jesus stop where he's at? What could you have to say? What could you be thinking? What could you possibly have in your gut to say to Jesus that would make him stop in the midst of a crowd to listen to you? I want you to think about that for just a second. What would you have on your lips this morning that would make Jesus stop in his tracks to listen to you? What could you say that is so important that Jesus the Messiah would stop as he's walking down the road to listen to you? But the text tells us that that's exactly what Jesus did when Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road begging. He stopped right where he was at. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, tell him to come here. So they called the blind man. They said, cheer up. Come on, he's calling you. The subject of our sermon this morning is blocked calls. I titled our sermon Blocked Calls because oftentimes we are praying and we're asking God to meet us where we're at, and it feels like he is not answering our call. I don't know if you've ever been there. I have been there many times where I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm asking God to meet me and to show me something, and there's nothing. Like, I feel like sometimes God must have a track phone or a prepaid plan that he did not pay everything for yet. And so he is sitting there and he does not get my phone call. And it is extremely frustrating when I'm in my life, as you're in your life, and we're asking God to meet us, and we hear nothing. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I've been there. And I venture to say that many of you have been there as well. My prayer this morning is that you came ready to hear God. Ready to meet God. Something's really interesting as I read this text, because this is what Bartimaeus says. Son of David, have mercy on me. He doesn't ask for help. He doesn't ask for money. He doesn't ask for clothes. He does not ask for a lift to the next place where he's going to get food. He asks for mercy. If I was in his shoes, I would not be asking for mercy. I would be asking for food or clothes or a ride to the next place to get food or clothes. I'd be asking for a bath, or I'd be asking for something physical that would help me, but I would not be asking for mercy. And I think so many people today in our society miss this, because Bartimaeus sees something that many of us miss. It feels like God does not answer our phone call. And so, when his phone rings, he looks at it, and this is what I envision God is doing. God is saying, Sally is calling me. I don't want to listen to her complain. Yeah, I'm not answering that one. Oh, here comes Derek again, and not today. And he puts the phone down, and he ignores my phone call. I don't know this week if you have been in that spot where you feel like God is blocking your calls, but I want to let you know that God is not blocking your calls. That God wants to meet you and hear you, and sometimes it requires us to change our perspective so that we can actually see things from his perspective. I don't know if you've had this experience or not, but when there are little kids in the house, they will be in another room, and you want them to come and do something for you. Set the table, pick up their toys, make their bed, whatever it is, and so you call them. Hey, Joe, come in here. I need you to come here for a second. And there's nothing. So what do? You get a little bit. Joe, come here. And Joe doesn't come. So you get a little more. You get it built inside, right? Now you're starting to get frustrated. And so you're like, Joe, get in here. And he, nothing. But what happens at that moment? What is the thing that happens? You walk in the room because now you're getting ready to pull Joe from where he's at to do what you asked. But you see that Joe has his face planted in front of the TV. And he's watching a show, and he's glued to the TV screen. He's so fixated on that TV that he doesn't hear, see anything outside of that TV. And I think that is what we do to God all the time. We are so fixated on other things, that when God is actually calling us and talking to us, we don't hear Him. And we don't know that. We don't think about it because we're so glued to the thing that we are doing. Our job, our sport, our career, our hobby, our relationships. Those things to us are so important that we put all of our energy and time into those things. And then God is sitting in the other room saying, hey, can you come here for a minute? And we don't hear Him. God is in the other room saying, come here. And we do not hear Him. I don't think it's that God is not answering our calls. I think it's that we are not hearing what He says. God is not answering our calls. God is calling us, and we do not hear Him. I believe as we read through this text this morning that we will see a few things that are blocking us from actually having an encounter or an experience with God. And so the rest of our time this morning, I want to just walk us through three things that I think that this text shows us through Bartimaeus' life that we can see and practically understand to help us understand why we do not have an encounter with God. The first point is what we hear. What we hear. So I want you to think about that for a second. Bartimaeus is blind. Okay? And I don't know if any of you are blind, but if you're blind, your hearing picks up more, and you start to hear things more specifically than you normally would. And the reason for that is because your senses pick up to help you. And so as he's sitting there on the side of the road, what he hears is crucial. The text begins with this in verse 48. It says, be quiet, many of the people are yelling at Bartimaeus. But he only shouts louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. There are some people in our lives that we just need to escape from. There are some people in our lives who, when we talk to them, they just rip out every ounce of passion and excitement that we have. You know what I'm talking about? These are the people who, every time you get done with them, you are drained. Every time you get in your car to leave their house, or that they leave your house, you're like, oh, I just need to relax for a couple minutes. We all have them. For some of us, don't point at them if they're next to you, but some of them are your family. Some of them are your parents. Some of them may be a coworker or a boss, but we all have someone that we just get drained from. You have to watch what you hear. You have to watch what you hear. I want you to make sure you get that. You have to pay attention. You have to make sure that you are being very specific about the things that you hear. Because there are some people who could be blocking you from hearing what God has to say to you. Because there are people in our lives that their sole goal, their sole purpose is to block you from hearing what God has to say to you. So I thought what I would do is I would take and I would give you a simple iPhone illustration. So what I'm going to do, if you don't know this, if you have an iPhone, good for you. If you don't have an iPhone, I'm sorry, I'll be praying for you. But iPhone is like my friend, okay? So I'm going to use my iPhone to get this up here for you. So first thing I'm going to do, so I'm going to go to my contacts, okay? And everybody has a contact list on their phone, okay? And when you have a contact list, these are the people that you decide that you're going to invest your life with or into. These are people who you say you deem worthy of your time, your effort, your energy, your respect, all those things. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to type in here Mike Reynolds. Okay, so if you do not know Mike Reynolds, he's the guy that makes all the stuff up there happen. I don't know how my phone's up there, but he did it. Okay? So he is my hero at this point. He's the one making this illustration work. Okay? But as you can see, I can put any information I want about him. I can put his picture. I can put his email, his phone number. If I want, I can put his address. I can do any of that stuff that I could ever want to do. But there are times, I love Mike Reynolds, but there are times when he just might, he doesn't, this is just for illustration, he might just be somebody that is stopping me from connecting with God. And so what we need to do with them physically, I'm going to do it with the phone so you can see, it's down here at the bottom, there is this spot that says, block this caller. You click on that and this little screen comes up and this is what it says. You will not receive phone calls, messages, or FaceTime from people on the block list. That's really refreshing, by the way, that if you block the person, they don't have any way to get a hold of you or connect with you. Love you, Mike, but block. Okay, I'm going to go back here. Who else do I just feel like could use being blocked? We're going to go Eric. You guys know Eric. He's the worship leader here at Hillside, and he's a great guy. He helps in a lot of ways to process through what I'm thinking or to be able to improve in musical skills or in leading congregations in worship. But there are just times that maybe Eric just might be someone that is causing me to not hear from God. And so for this season, at this moment, I'm just going to do the same thing. I'm going to go down here to the block contact list. Yep, I don't want him to contact me, and I'm going to hit block contact. Now, some of us just need to do something, okay? Some of us just need to go home and sit down and have a good, old-fashioned block party where we go through our contact list and we start going through and blocking the people who we feel are draining us or stopping us from contacting God. Okay? When they stop you from connecting with God, you need to cut them out for this season. Okay? When those things happen, when you block them, you're not being a jerk. You're not being mean to them. You're saying, I need what I need right now to connect with God. Because the number one thing in my life at this moment is connecting with God. So when you do your block party, when you're sitting there, don't think about how they're going to feel. Okay? I give you permission to think about you and your relationship with God. And just, if this person's stopping me right now, from connecting with God, block them. In your life, at work, at school, at home, wherever you find yourself. I gotta go back for 30 seconds here. Because some of you are like, I want to block my spouse. Like, block them. That's not what we're going to do. It's a lot harder to block your spouse or to block your kids or to block your boss or your coworker that you need to have or your client. It's a lot harder to block them. But the thing is, if they are stopping you from connecting with God, you need to find a way to put them aside for a season. Put them aside for a season. Everyone cannot have access during this season. During this season in your life, not everyone can have access to you. What did Bartimaeus do when the people got in his way? What did Bartimaeus, the blind man who's poor and sitting there, what did he do when the people told him to be quiet? He shouted. The text says he shouted. Hello! That's what he did. He got really excited and got more passion inside him. And so what did he do? He shouted all the more. Why would Bartimaeus shout to Jesus? What would be the reason in his life where he would shout to Jesus? This is what I think. So that he could focus on calling out to and doing what his Father said. So that he could focus on calling out to and doing what his Father said. What would it be like in this season if you paid attention to what you hear because they are blocking you from what God is trying to say to you? What would happen in this season in your life if you were to block out the things that are stopping you from connecting and hearing God's voice? What would happen in this season of your life? We watch what we hear, but we also need, number two, to watch our thoughts. So what I think is absolutely crucial. What I think impacts everything that I do. We can learn some things from Bartimaeus in this text. Let's read verse 46. Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. Okay, so we know he's blind, and we also know that he's sitting on the roadside begging. I don't know if you've ever heard about Bartimaeus before. Some of you may have heard him before, some of you may not have ever heard the story before. But whenever I've heard the story of Bartimaeus, it's not Bartimaeus. It's blind man Bartimaeus. That's how I've always heard about him. Why do we refer to him as blind man Bartimaeus? We tend to identify people by their conditions. If this is true for you, I don't know if it's true for you, but when I'm going down the street and I see somebody that is not as clean as I am, or as I think people that I want around me are should be, I'm sorry. I hate to admit it, but sometimes I sit in my car and let them walk by, and then I get out of my car. Or sometimes I'll just go to the other side of the sidewalk, or sometimes I'll do something different. But there are times in my life where I look at somebody and I identify them by what they're doing. Not by who they are, but by what they're doing. Can you imagine the thoughts going on in Bartimaeus' head as he's sitting there? We don't know how long he's been blind. We just know that he's a blind guy that's been begging. And people know him as the beggar. So he must have been doing this for quite some time. But I can just imagine the voices inside his head that are telling him, you have no value. You have no worth. You just sit here and beg. What are you doing? Be quiet. Quit talking. Just sit there. Some of you hear that voice on a regular basis. Some of you hear that voice that says, you have no value. You have no worth. You're too young. You're too old. You can't walk like you used to. You can run all you want right now, but someday you're going to not be able to do that anymore. You're poor. You're rich. You're divorced. You're widowed. You won't be able to do anything. And we hear that voice on a regular basis. I find that one of the greatest things that we can ever do when that voice comes is to just name it. We name it. We tell that voice to go away. Some people are more sophisticated than I am, and they say, some spiritual, Satan, leave in the name of Jesus, which is all great. That's not how I am. So I'm like, purple polka dots, leave. And that's what I call it. For me, the voice, I call it purple polka dots. So I say, purple polka dots, leave. Because I know that I am not what you're saying that I am. Because the Bible tells me that I am made in God's image. The Bible tells me that I have value and I have worth because God made me to impact the world and to point people to him. Purple polka dots, leave, because you know what? I have no room for you right now. Some of us need to just name the voice. I was thinking about this. Do you know why we call them terrorists? Do you know why we use that term to define that group of people? Because we don't know who they are. We have no clue who they are. We say terrorist as a general term because we do not have an identity for the person. But once we have an identity of the person or people, then we have an attack plan. Then we say, this is how we're going to attack them, and this is what we're going to do, and this is how it's going to go down. And let's all get together, and this is how many people we need. But until we can identify them, we call them terrorists because we have no clue who they are. The same thing happens when Satan tries to come to you and give you all these lies and tell you that you have no value or have no worth. Until you actually say, Satan, go away, leave me alone, I want nothing to do with you, my God is bigger than you, and he will beat you, and he will defeat you. Go away. Satan is going to continue to attack you. Some of us don't hear God's voice because we're getting attacked constantly by the things that we hear. If we look closely, we can learn more about Bartimaeus. As we read verse 46, it says, then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. Son of Timaeus. He was a son of somebody. It's kind of obvious he was a human being, so he must have been somebody's son. But we often don't identify ourselves as sons and daughters of the Most High God. we often identify ourselves by what we do. I'm a bus driver. I'm a Beavers fan. I am short. I am a teacher. Whatever your thing is, we don't identify as a son or daughter of the Most High God. The text, it must be extremely important because it's in there, says that Bartimaeus is the son of Timaeus. Satan does not want you to know or to remember your identity. He doesn't want you to remember where you come from. He does not want you to remember where you've been and where you're going. He just wants to defeat you and make you stop in your tracks, right where you're at, and feel bad about yourself. I think too often, when we get into that spot, do not tell Satan to go away. Another challenge for you this week. When that voice comes, find a mirror. It's going to sound really weird. It's okay. I'm a weird guy. You'll get used to it. Find a mirror. Look in it. Look in your eyes. And say, I am a child of God. I am loved. I am cared for. I am created for a purpose. And whatever those voices are telling you, you defeat them by saying, that is not true. You don't say that. You say whatever they're saying, right? It's like the voice is saying, you're poor and you don't amount to anything. You say, I am a child of the Most High God. I may be poor, but God has a plan for me. You see the difference? Instead of sitting there going, I'm poor and I can't do nothing, we say, you know what? I have something. I am a child of God. And I may be poor, but that's not going to identify me. I am a child of God. And you look in the mirror and you do that, and I guarantee you those voices will start to go away. I challenge you to do that. Because sometimes what we hear stops us from having an encounter with God. Our thoughts in our head can block us from hearing what God has to say. The third thing I think we can get from this text is what I see. What I see. What I see is very, very important. And for Bartimaeus, it's even more important. Oh, by the way, Derek, Bartimaeus is blind. Yeah, but what he lacks in his eyesight, he gains in wisdom and stature and commitment. What he did not have in eyesight, he gained in wisdom and stature and commitment to his Father in heaven. Even in the midst of him being blind, he was able to see things that people around him that were able to see could not even see. The way that you see somebody will determine the way that you respond to them. We know this. This is what we teach children. The way that you see somebody is the way that you will respond. When a child is being mean to another child, we do not say, good job, keep going. What we say is, that's not kind. We need to be kind to our friends. They're not my friend. Well, we're going to be our friend. We need to be kind to them. We don't say that because it helps us. We say that because it helps the child to see that person as somebody with value. Oftentimes, we don't see God as somebody that needs to have a bunch of value. Some of us come into church every week. I'm here to worship. Let's get the worship thing over. I got something at 12:30. Let's go. And I know because that's how I used to go to church. I used to come to church, sit there, watching the clock, ready to go when the time was up. I was one of the first ones out the door. That was just how I was. Because I wasn't coming to church to encounter God. I was coming to church because that's what you do. There's a huge difference. Because I didn't see God as somebody of value that needed value in my time. How you see God and how you see others will determine the way that you treat them. I was talking to a friend this week, and me and him were talking, and he was telling me about the different styles that him and his wife have of parenting. They have three kids. And he says, there's two groups, and I'm going to let you identify with whichever one you are. He said, my wife is the I'm gonna parent. She's the I'm gonna parent. What she does is she says, I'm gonna take your video games away if you don't stop. I'm gonna whoop your butt if you don't stop. I'm gonna take away whatever it is that the kid really, really likes. He says, my wife is a I'm gonna parent. I like that. That's kind of interesting. Okay. He says, but I'm completely different. He goes, I am the I have and I will parent. I have and I will. He says, I say, I have taken your video games away and I will do it again. I have whipped your butt and I will do it again. I have taken this and this and this away and I will do it again. Far too often we see God as the I have and I will parent. We come in and we say, life is so messed up and horrible and I just can't figure out how to get myself straight this week. By the way, you're not alone. But we come in and this is how we view God, because we see, if God was really caring and really loving and really cared about me and my situation, I would not be in this spot. I encountered a guy this week who that was exactly his reason for not worshiping God and not going to church. Because if God cared about me, if God loved me, I would not be in the situation that I am in right now. Those are his words that he said to me. Too often, that's how we view God. That's how we come to church. That's how we come to worship in the middle of the week. That's how we do work and other things. What if God is not saying to you, I have stopped you from being able to do certain things, and I will do it again? Instead of that, what if you said, God is actually saying to me, I have shown myself to you, and I will do it again. I have blessed you, and I will do it again. I have made myself known to you, and I will do it again. I have. Saved you. And I will continue and do it again. What if you looked at God as the I have and I will kind of God, not in a negative way, but in a way where he is giving you a promise. I have loved you. And I will love you again. I have picked you up, and I will do it again. See, I think too often we don't see God that way, and that affects the way that we see God. How you see God determines how you hear God. I think, this is Derek's opinion, how you see God oftentimes is what's blocking you from hearing God. How you see God is often what's blocking you from hearing God. How did Bartimaeus see God? In verse 47, this is how we see this. It says, when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He heard Jesus of Nazareth, but he shouted, Son of David. I did a little research on these two terms because some people like me are, well, we're let's face it, we're kind of nerds and we like to know the way things work. So here we go. This is what I learned. Jesus of Nazareth speaks to a prophet or a priest or a holy man. A prophet, a priest, or a holy man. Jesus of Nazareth is a prophet, he's a priest, he's a holy man. But when we get Son of David, it has a completely different meaning. It actually goes a little deeper and actually has a little more gusto to it, if I can use that term. Jesus, Son of David, actually speaks to the Messiah. The prophecy that he would, that there would be a king from the line of David that would come. So when he says, Son of David, he is saying something completely different than Jesus of Nazareth. Because Jesus of Nazareth is just a common term that people would use to talk about a prophet or a man. But when he actually says, Son of David, what he's saying is, I know who you are. I have this relationship and connection with you to know who you are. The power and the authority that comes from the house of David, which is what Bartimaeus saw, nobody else had. Like, nobody else saw Son of David. Everyone saw him as a common person, but Bartimaeus saw him as the Messiah. The promised coming king that would come from the house of David, from the line of David, to save the world. I hope you see the difference there, because those are two drastically different views and different ways of seeing. And the best part is, the blind man saw it. It's great. The blind man saw who Jesus really was, and the people who could see had no clue. They had no clue who he really was. But the blind man saw it. How you see God determines how you hear him. Some of you walked in this morning to church. God did not show up for me this week. God must not love me. Some of you came in defeated and felt like it was God's fault. Instead of coming in and saying, God is a God who loves me, he is the Alpha, Omega, beginning and end, he's actually everything and everywhere, he loved me so much that he cared enough to create me in his image, and then he sent his son so that I could actually have my relationship with him. He loved me enough to keep that relationship open by sending Jesus. Like, he doesn't hate you. He doesn't despise you. And he doesn't want you to suffer. What he wants is a connection with you. What we hear is very important. What you hear may be blocking you from what God has to say. What you hear, what you see, and what you think may be blocking you from what God has to say. If you don't walk away with anything else, this is the part that I really want you to walk away with. Okay? Here's my walk away. There's a setting. The setting of this whole story is one that we can all relate to. The story is one where there's a crowd of people. Okay? Everyone's there. And there's a crowd. Imagine the place that you've been to where there's a bunch of people. Go ahead, just picture that in your head. Earlier I asked you this. What could be on your lips that would make Jesus stop in his tracks? You're in a crowd of people. Jesus is walking through the crowd and around, what could you have to say that would be so inspiring and so catchy and so deep that Jesus would stop in his tracks? What would you say? What would you be thinking? What would you think that you would say? We know that Bartimaeus identified Jesus. How did Jesus identify Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus is able to spot, if you will. He's blind, but I get that. He spotted, he heard Jesus. He's able to be like, that is Jesus. And he was able to get excited enough to actually call out. And when people told him to be quiet, he just ignored them and kept yelling his name. He was able to identify Jesus. How did Jesus identify him in a crowd? Pastor Matt, a few weeks ago, used this illustration of somebody was over here and somebody was over here. And far too often what we try to do is we try to go, God is nowhere. Like, I can't connect with God. He's not listening to me. He's not talking to me. But God is actually standing over here saying, I'm ready. Like, I'm right here. I'm not moving. I'm right here. Not paying attention. Okay? That's what happens far too often. And this is what I think smacked me across the face as I was reading and preparing for this sermon. In this season, something could be blocking you from God. It's true. Right now, something could be blocking you from God. But nothing can block God from hearing you. Something could be blocking you from hearing God, but nothing is blocking God from hearing you. This morning, God wants to say to you, I love you. I'm here for you. I'm with you. I support you. Satan has no power over you. You are loved. You are cared for. You just need to stop being fixated on the things you're fixated on and turn to me a little bit. If we all could just turn a little ways to God, cut out the things that are stopping us from connecting with Him, be intentional, be proactive, and stop those things, God will be right there like He always is. I love you, my child. And He will hug you, and He will be with you, and you will actually experience the love and the affection that you deeply desire. Will you join me in prayer? Father God, we thank You for loving us. We thank You for Your commitment to us. And we thank You for Bartimaeus, who shows us that how we see You and hear You and connect with You is extremely crucial, even when the rest of the world is not paying any attention to You. Would You speak to us through this song? Would You help us to encounter You today? As we leave this place, would we be able to say, we love You and we serve a God who is bigger and better than all the things that we are told that You are inside our heads. We love You. In Jesus' name, amen.